11, verses 20 to 30, which is on page 976, if you have one of the blue Bibles. There are a couple still around if you'd like one. Let's hear God's word. Then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on that day of judgment than for you. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Do you ever wonder what it would be like if Jesus came to Kidlington? Do you ever wonder what it would have been like if, instead of beginning his ministry in Galilee over 2,000 years ago, he began his ministry here in 2025 in Kidlington? So imagine Jesus dressed in clothes that you or I would wear, speaking our language, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God on Kidlington High Street. Imagine him stopping to heal people on Oxford Road, feeding thousands in Exeter Park, maybe giving sight to the blind on the two-way bus. Or imagine him traveling into Oxford itself and performing miracles there. Imagine him maybe walking the halls of the JR, the lame walking and the deaf hearing and the mute speaking. When we read Matthew a few weeks ago, we talked about Jesus going viral. And isn't it true that how much more would Jesus go viral if Jesus had come today in 2025? He'd be on international news in days or hours even. And I don't know about you, but there's a part of me that almost wishes that, imagine if Jesus came now, like, wouldn't that be so much better? Because then we would see him with our own eyes. And how many millions would hear his message of love and see his miracles. And surely, surely we think if he came today, surely millions would come to Jesus and put their faith in him and receive all that Jesus offers them. Surely. If the people we speak to would just see what Jesus could do, surely they would come to him in faith. Do you ever find yourself thinking that? The passage of scripture that we're going to look at today reminds us that actually, sadly, even when people are confronted with Jesus' amazing miracles, even when people heard Jesus' words from his own lips, most people still refuse to come to Jesus. And actually, we have no reason to think that it would be any different if Jesus showed up in Kidlington in 2025 compared to Galilee over 2,000 years ago. Even when they saw his miracles and heard his claims, the majority of people would reject him. It's just as important today as it was all those years ago when Jesus walked the earth. It's just as important today that we come to Jesus. That's really the big important thing for us to hear this morning. Just three words. Come to Jesus. And it's true if Jesus is this morning an absolute stranger to you. It's true if you're a follower of Jesus already, but your love has grown cold. That happens, doesn't it? But it's what you need to do if you've been a follower of his for a long, long time and you're just feeling tired. May each of us today simply, humbly come to Jesus. Firstly, come to Jesus and he will keep you safe on the day of judgment. That's from our first chunk of text, so verses 20 to 24. Come to Jesus and he will keep you safe on the day of judgment. Do we read those verses again? Then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. Now, I don't know whether you have a calendar on your phone. I think most of us do. Or if I went to your house, whether I'd see a lovely calendar on your kitchen wall with all your various appointments, and birthdays, and important events on it. I don't know how good you are at remembering to look at your calendar. That's where I fall down personally, I think, remembering to look at the calendar itself. Now, it's if God had a calendar, and it's not like he needs one, but if he did have one, there would be a future day with Day of Judgment circled and underlined on his calendar. Because there's a future day when God, the person who made and established the world, is going to punish all the evil that's ever been committed. All evil. So whether it was in the headlines, or it happened in secret, and the perpetrator would seem to have gotten away with it because they've since died. All evil, we're told, will face the justice of a good and fair and righteous God on the future day. And here, Jesus rattles through these towns where he preached and performed miracles, healing and casting out demons. And he says that on that future day of judgment, these towns are going to have a terrible time. It will be awful for them. He mentions Tyre and Sidon and Sodom, places that were infamous to the Jewish people because of the evil that went on there. And Jesus says that even they will have a more bearable time than you. Why? Why does Jesus say that of these towns that he went to? It's because in spite of seeing Jesus' miraculous signs, in spite of hearing his message, they had chosen to reject him. And the people in these towns had refused to come to Jesus and be saved. The word that Jesus uses through this speech is repent, which means to turn away from living their way and to consciously turn towards him in worship. That's what it means to repent, to turn around, turn from sin, and to turn towards Jesus. And Jesus tells us that even today, anyone who does that, who comes to Jesus in faith, will receive forgiveness for their sin and for their evil. For the person who comes to Jesus, there is no punishment to face on that future day of judgment. As we've seen, Jesus sacrificed his own life in your place on the cross. But for those who don't consciously do that, who don't consciously come to Jesus, that future day is a day to be feared. Do you believe Jesus here, that there will be this future day of judgment? Isn't it, the more we think about it, isn't it good and right for God, the creator and the judge, to do that? Isn't it right for the creator to also deal with all the evil in the world? Where does that leave you this morning? Will you be safe on that day? What's your answer to that question? Please come to Jesus. Turn to Jesus in prayer. Repent and turn towards him today, and he will keep you safe on the day of judgment. And for those of us here this morning who have come to Jesus, those of you who have repented of your sin and turned towards Jesus, praise and thank him even now. Because of Jesus and his mercy and his grace towards you, you are and always will be safe on the day of judgment. And let us remember, as we continue to turn from our sin day by day, to turn from our sin and to turn towards Jesus, let us not forget that we are safe and secure only because we have come to Jesus and received grace and received mercy from him. It's not because you identify as an evangelical. It's not because your mum and dad were Christians. It's not because you have quiet time. It's not because you get all your books from 10 of those. It's not because you're really good at providing for your family. The basis of our security as Christians and the reason for our confidence is because in obedience to Christ, you and I came to Jesus and received his offer of forgiveness. That's it. That is why we are secure. That is why we are safe on that future day. Come to Jesus and he will keep you safe on the day of judgment. Next, come to Jesus and he will show you the Father. He will show you the Father. Let's read from verse 25 again. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. One of the most moving TV shows I remember watching would have to be Long Lost Family. Has anyone seen Long Lost Family before? It's a tearjerker. At the beginning of each episode, if I remember rightly, we're introduced to someone, perhaps a woman separated from a mother at birth or a man who never knew his father. And then with the help of experts, this person is told, we found them. This is their name. This is where they live. And they can't wait to meet you. And at the end of the episode, the person is taken by the hand to a cafe or something like that where their long-lost family is waiting for them. And they see them. And there's hugging. And there's crying. They were loved. They were wanted. I can't believe this is happening. Look how you've grown. You're so beautiful. It's lovely. Oh dear. I don't think it's a stretch to say that this is what Jesus does for us. He takes us by the hand and he reunites us with our Heavenly Father. And through him, we know the Father. He reveals the Father to us. In fact, it's only through Jesus that we can know God. It's only through the Son that we can have a relationship with the Father. Just think of it. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, living together in love for all eternity, creating the universe out of God's overflowing love within himself. And then the Father sending the Son so that we, rebellious humanity, might be brought back to the Father and to share in and enjoy the perfect love of God. Isn't that wonderful? And so the Son reveals the Father to us. Being wise and learned and clever won't help you here, Jesus says. Come to Jesus and he will show you the Father. He reveals God himself to those who come to him. Now, for those of us who are followers of Jesus this morning, we can say with confidence, I know the Father. I have peace with the Father this morning. I have a relationship with the Father. Wonderful. But isn't it easy to start seeing coming to Jesus in prayer or coming to Jesus as we read scripture? Just so important things for us to do. But to see them solely as ways in which we can become better versions of ourselves, or ways in which we might become more like Jesus. Now that is partly true, isn't it? But what if instead we saw more our coming to Jesus through prayer and through scripture as in order to know God better? That we might know and delight in the Father. What if we were to continue to draw near to Jesus in all these different good ways, you know, prayer and scripture and fasting and silence and solitude and time together in community, all these wonderful things that we enjoy, and approach these things and think about them as ways in which we might know the Father more deeply and know him more intimately and enjoy him. And we can say to ourselves, I want to draw near to Jesus in order to delight myself in God. Come to Jesus and he will show you the Father. Lastly, come to Jesus and he will give you rest. That's from verses 28 to 30 at the end. Come to Jesus and he will give you rest. How do you like to rest when you're tired? I know some of you like to read. I know some of you like walking, or taking a nap, or going to an art gallery, or fishing, or maybe having a cup of tea under a blanket and watching Gogglebox. But what do you do when you're tired on the inside? When you're not merely physically tired, but tired on the inside, in your soul, in your inmost being? That's what Jesus wants to help us with. Let's read from verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus' answer for people who are tired and weary and burdened on the inside, and I think there are many people like that, Jesus' answer is to come to him and to take his yoke. Now, a yoke was made of wood and it was put over the shoulders of oxen, a pair of oxen as they were ploughing. And it's also apparently a way of describing sort of the relationship between a rabbi and a disciple, or a teacher and a learner. Now you might picture Jesus as sort of saying to you, "Okay, yes, you're burdened, but here, take this other burden. Here, put this on. Okay, now mush." Sort of, you know, he's sort of standing over here at the plow while you're sort of carrying the yoke. I don't know how you picture it. I think I've sort of pictured it like that in the past. But I think it could be more like sort of Jesus with the yoke on, saying, "Look, here, come. Come, take my yoke upon you." and learn from me. It's not heavy. I've got it. Come here and carry the yoke. Isn't that a slightly different way of thinking about it? That might be the picture that Jesus is talking about here. Sidling up and walking on shoulder to shoulder with Jesus, who carries the burden with us. And so it's not enough. When the world is getting you down and leaving you weary in your bones, in your very soul, it might seem counterintuitive. The solution is to come to Jesus and to deliberately learn from him and to do life his way. And it's through working with Jesus, side by side with Jesus, that is how we find rest in this life, rest in our souls. Now, I know there are many in our church family who are tired, bone tired, and for a whole host of reasons. And being a member of the church, such a wonderful thing, such a vital thing. Such a wonderful thing that we don't have to struggle alone. We can help carry each other's burdens and give and receive love, care. And we're reminded here that doing life with Jesus, consciously doing life day by day with Jesus, is way more manageable than doing life without him. Our souls, our inmost beings, find rest when we give our lives learning, feeding, listening, receiving from him. Come to Jesus, and he will give you rest. Just take a few moments just being quiet and reflecting on anything that the Holy Spirit might be saying to you through God's word this morning. Just a few moments to reflect, and then I'll leave us in prayer. Father God, I pray that through your Holy Spirit that you would glorify your Son this morning. Pray that each of us, wherever we're at, would simply come to Jesus. Father, we thank you and we praise you that if we come to Jesus, it's through faith in him alone. It's through the grace that we receive through Jesus that we will be safe on that future day of judgment. Thank you, Father, that it's through coming to Jesus, through him, that we get to know you, Father. Thank you that the Lord Jesus has revealed you to us, Father. Thank you that you've made it possible for us to know you and to walk with you day by day through your Son. Father, thank you for Jesus' offer that if we come to him, And if we take his yoke on our shoulders, that is how we find rest for our souls. Father, we can only see what's on the outside of each other, but you know what's on the inside. And you know who here this morning is weary and burdened, even in their very soul. Lord, I pray that for each of us, that we would come to Jesus in faith and receive rest from him. Thank you that we can always come to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.